I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys. Always a fun to have a chat with Tim Sobey. Never a dull moment. And, you know, his meat market is the same way. You walk in there and people are happy. You got 80 foot of wonderful meat. And well, it's a place. If you haven't been there, you need to go.
Don't make his head swell too much. I mean, you know, a lot of that credit goes to that wonderful woman he's married to, Teresa.
The one that's not coyote hunting.
No.
She's back at the store.
She's cracking the whip.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's. You'll find her in the back blending up seasoning recipes for all their sausages. She's like a. She's got very exclusive and precise recipes for every sausage they do. That's a much work.
Yeah, well, that's the reason the consistency's there though, and they're good every time.
Yeah,
is because she follows the recipe.
You know, I wanted to follow up on something we were talking about, the pork loin, and that I think. As a younger husband, father, griller, that's something I screwed up for a long, long time. And pork chops, I would say, is something that our whole house suffered through for my wife and myself overcooking. So
when I was growing up, my mom always thought that there was trichinosis in pork, so you had to cook it to death in order to avoid that.
Well, because there was long ago. Yeah. Anyway, Rob Russell again and I would do these classes, and after a while we got bored with ribs and butts and briskets and chicken, so we started doing a class called Fancy Grilling, and I played around with the pork loin, and of course I'm a big Jacquard fan, so I started cutting my chops about an inch and a half thick, and then I would put some EVO on them and take that Jacquard and just pound the heck out of it. And then I'd flip it over, oil it, pound the heck out of that side, and then put it on the grill. And it looked horrible. Looked like, you know, car crash. But by the time that thing is at 145, 150 degrees, it's almost perfectly back into its old shape. And it's tender. You can literally cut it with a fork. And you'll amaze your friends if you do that. And if you don't have a Jacquard, just go online and get one. And make sure you get the one that comes apart easily. Don't get the white one. Get the colored one that slides apart for dishwasher use.
Okay. For those of you who don't know what a Jacquard is, just describe it for
me. Bed of nails.
Right.
It's like a, you know, if you remember the old price stampers for cans, if you ever worked in a supermarket, you had this stamper that would come down and stamp the price on cans. It works kind of like that, except it's shooting pins into the meat. And back in my early college days in Grand Rapids, before I shipped out, I went to a school here for a year, and I worked at Van and Brink Meats. And we made, I'm going to say, some of the best hams mankind has ever had. Unfortunately, they closed due to a little trouble with the IRS. But we supplied Spartan with all their hams and bacon, and that was a very big account for us. But those pork butts were all injected with needles for the brine, and that also tenderized it. So it was kind of cool. We ran them through a machine, and it was like instant brining. We'd pump the brine in, then we'd throw them in a brining tank, and they'd sit for not very long.
Right. Just looked up a Jacquard on Amazon. Their cheap ones are $14. Expensive ones are $30. And the difference is quality. I'm sure, and but what Bob said,
Jacquard. It has to be the brand.
Okay, I use Jacquard, and a bunch of them came up.
Yeah.
So, but I agree, the Jacquard 48 blade meat tenderizer, but it comes apart for cleaning.
Yes.
Because as these blades go down into the meat, they pick up, you know, a little bit of fat on them. And you're going to want to clean it when you put it away.
Especially if it's got coyote or something like that.
Yeah, you might have to hit the Jacquard twice on the coyote.
You know, I've been mentioning all year long about this Grand Solar Minimum because I'm captivated by science these days, just watching what the world's done. And as it turns out, what I had learned was pretty accurate. We had a record apple crop. We had, you know, record all sorts of crops. And they're saying that same thing is going to happen this year, only they're saying it's going to be like in the 1880s this happened, and they're saying it could be the year without a summer. And I can't really imagine that, but these guys that are tracking this cosmic event are saying it could be like the coldest summer any of us have ever seen. So if that is the case, and I'm not claiming to know, but they've been right so far, it would appear that if you're a gardener, that's going to affect what you're growing and how you plant. So just something to keep in mind.
Where are you getting this information?
YouTube.
Okay.
YouTube, Rumble, BitChute, anybody who plays videos of that people want to come out with their ponderances.
Right. Yeah.
Cliff High is one of them. He's a genius. He's a little hard to listen to sometimes, but I found him on BitChute, and he's the one that first brought it to my attention, and I started researching it. And the guy's so smart, it's hard to stay with him. I mean, he's usually losing you after about two or three sentences. You got to try and figure out what he said. But the gist of it is there's something is affecting the sun, and this year it's going to have a different impact. And we'll see. I hope it's wrong, because that would be a tremendous fee for the pool heater.
Yeah, just leave her covered.
I only like it on for 1 month, and that's May, and I don't even like that.
Yeah.
300,000 BTUs burning away for a month.
Right. Yeah, your pool's large. We have it didn't impact us much on our end, but we ran it. I mean,
we didn't have it this year. I mean, last summer was beautiful.
Right.
It was beautiful. The sun appeared to be like incredibly harsh on the eyes, but right. Temperatures weren't terrible.
Yeah. So when you're using that Jacquard on pork, are you putting you said olive oil on there, and then you hit it with the Jacquard for the tenderizer? You're not putting your seasoning on to drive that in, right?
I mean, sometimes I do. To me, I'm not in as big a hurry to drive salt into it. I'm more concerned with driving the fat into it, because those chops are so lean that if you can pound some of that EVOO in it, it's just going to be
extra virgin olive oil. Yeah, is what he's talking about.
And I use Old World Olive Company's garlic on so much, but
right.
It's wonderful on the pork chops. And
right.
So if you have a Jacquard, you cut that pork loin into 1.5-inch chops, put oil on them. If you want to put your seasoning on, do that too. I haven't done this in a year or two, so I don't even know if I did that before or not. But the point is to drive the oil into it and to let the Jacquard tear that flesh, because it's what it's doing. It's
the
cutting.
Muscle, yep.
It's cutting a bunch of it. And if you bring that up to 145 and 142 and pull it, you will cut those chops with a fork.
And that's on the grill. You're using a charcoal grill or a gas grill.
Yep.
You're not smoking that,
no.
Right? Yeah.
No.
Yep. Exactly. So you're grilling it, and how long? You hit that with Jacquard with that oil in there. How long after do you wait before you cook it?
I just throw it on.
Exactly. That's where I was going. Is this isn't a process where it's got to sit on the counter for
no.
an hour or
no,
anything?
No, no, no.
Because all you've done is that oil on there. Those little blades just push it down into the meat.
You've now done your job, so it's time to throw it on.
Yep.
And it's important that you don't bring it beyond 145.
Right, because then it's going to dry out, and it's going to be overdone,
yep.
And it'll get tough.
This will make it more forgiving than any other method, but you still, if you want the cut with a fork tenderness, then that's what you want to do, is bring it up to 143.
Yeah, that's a really good recipe. It's simple. And it makes for a really good protein for your plate.
Yeah, it does. And it's something I stumbled on because Rob Russell got me into using a Jacquard on the briskets. And I was amazed at what that did for a brisket. And we don't talk about that enough either. But it made the brisket more tender. And if you're struggling with your brisket, get a Jacquard.
Right.
Because when you're trimming it and then you're putting your spice out. Now, with a brisket, I would definitely always put my rub on before I'd use the Jacquard, and that's what we did.
Yeah.
But it just got me thinking about.
Are you using oil on the brisket or not?
No, usually mustard, but you could put oil on it if you wanted to. There's so much fat in a good brisket, you don't have to worry about it too much. But I've got a couple of those Wagyu, red Wagyu brisket, and I've been saving them, and Jordan and his wife are having a year after wedding ceremony, I should say celebration.
Right.
And so it's at a venue downtown, and they let you cater who you want, and I'm going to take care of the hors d'oeuvres.
Sure.
Because we don't have the wedding's over, you know, so right. we don't have to go to a wedding. I can just show up early and do some hors d'oeuvres, and I'm going to do burnt ends and smoked brisket. And we're going to have some nice rolls.
And I'm on the invitation list, so that's a good thing. But you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. Thanks for tuning in each and every weekend. Get out there and enjoy the weather, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.